You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Like, we walked into a bar once, they're like, oh, is it your brother? And I'm like, literally, we have sex.
So yes, it is my brother.
So yes, yeah.
Any other questions?
What's it to you? Yeah. What is this, a podcast about incest?
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together, see what it's all about.
Dyking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that is perfectly splendid. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
And I'm Melody Kamali.
Who's perfectly splendid. And today we are dyking out with comedian Mo Welch about getting knocked up.
Before we get into that, some quick announcements. Just a quick reminder, if you become a patron at the $10 a month level, you get to join our exclusive Facebook group where Allie, my girlfriend, tends to post a lot, but this week specifically, posting a lot of pervy messages that her mom sends us that I gave you a sample of on the last episode. Really great stuff happening in that group.
Yeah, Allie's great with the follow-up. She comes in and brings the evidence for what we talk about on the pod.
Yeah. But for $5 a month, you do get access to our extra content,
including extra questions that we'll be asking Mo after we're done recording this episode.
Yes. And if you join at the $20 level before the end of the month, you'll get to join our November Patreon hang over Zoom,
which was so fun the last time. And this time, I think it'll be even more fun. And quick reminder, just to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And some of you have asked how to rate us on Spotify. They don't have ratings on Spotify yet or reviews. But what does help on Spotify is if you follow us. So make sure if you listen on Spotify, hit follow on Dyking Out, because they do have charts and that helps us a lot. Okay, now we can talk about our You Halloween show for real, because last episode we recorded before the show happened, but released it after the show happened. But it really happened this time.
Yeah. We said we had a great time, and that was a prediction, and it came true. So much fun.
Manifesting it. Had a lot of fun, but I have to say I was feeling very out of it, of course, going into it. You know, nobody was in the hospital, but my temperature was climbing throughout the day, and got very nervous about having to do an Australian accent to match my costume, which I totally bailed on other than like three words and saying mate occasionally throughout the show. My wig was falling off. What really threw me off were the fake nails that I was wearing, because
that was a twist. I didn't even know you were planning on that.
I know. Well, I was really trying to get as many pieces of Erica Owens down as possible. So I wanted to give myself plenty of time to prepare. I glued on these nails and then realized I could do nothing after that. So I was like trying to use the computer, trying to use my phone, trying to get everything set up, and I couldn't function with nails. Anyway,
but we pulled through.
We did pull through, and thankfully, all of our performers, DJ Shaw Savage was there, Kara Connors, Becca Blackwell, Ashley Ray,
Tian Tran
as Lori, the white suburban voter who voted for Trump in 2016, but has changed her vote for 2020 and convinced her husband to do the same, and also played a fun game. And then Samantha Sidley joined us to cap it all off with a performance, which gave me chills and made me emotional. I'm a big fan.
Yes, I think it was a success. I cannot wait for the next show.
With a cameo from her wife, Barb, who...
Legend.
Just delights me. Yeah, Barb is legendary. I love her so much, and I can't wait to dike out with her in the future. But yeah, I can't wait to plan our next show. These shows are so fun. So thank you to everybody who came for that.
And congratulations to our costume contest winner.
Zoe. Yes, Zoe is going to be doing an off-topic episode with us on Patreon, and she dressed up as grapes. It was a grape homemade costume.
Hey, and am I allowed to say the topic she chose for her off-topic recording for Patreon? Okay, because it is body hair. So if you're not already a patron and you want to hear my millions of thoughts on body hair as a Persian woman, strap in, subscribe, get in there. I can't wait to talk about
body hair. I was very excited about this because we've had an episode on hair in general with Wazina Zanin, but that was pre-Melody.
I could have brought a lot to the conversation, and at least we get to do it on the Patreon.
Other than that, you know, I think it's just our same old quarantine talk of what are we watching on TV? What's coming out? What's going on in the world of lesbians? And it seems like while most of us are sitting tight looking for things to do during the pandemic, Clea DuVall has been very busy. One of her projects is that she directed A Happiest Season, and that's the movie with Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis play a couple in it. It is a queer holiday rom-com. I mean, maybe the whole thing isn't queer, but the queer storyline, I think, is significant, or that's how it seems to have been promoted. But it's going to be coming to Hulu instead of being released in theaters the week of Thanksgiving. So that's exciting. That's easier access for everybody to get a little bit of queer holiday content into their lives. And I was thinking because we have to do a, not because we have to, I mean, we want to, we also have to, but our November Patreon hang, what if we made it a watch party with this movie?
Oh,
would that be
my
more fun?
God. That'd be
I'd
so
love to
much
watch
fun.
This.
I haven't done any of those watch parties like on Netflix. They have them for Hulu too.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the logistics of it, but I just figure we could, you know.
Yeah, because if we're not watching it together, we're going to be talking about it together anyways. So we might as well get everyone on the same page and have a little watch party.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And then I read this week that Clea DuVall is also producing a comedy series on IMDb TV, which I didn't really know was a thing. But I know this is a thing. Tegan and Sarah, their high school memoir is being turned into a comedy series.
Whoa.
So that is really cool. Clea DuVall wrote the pilot. She's working with the Quinn sisters on it. And I hope it gets picked up. Then I would watch IMDb TV for that, for sure.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Clea DuVall, our Dyke Santa.
Yeah, I think Clea DuVall is really, really been, like, she kind of disappeared for a while, right? Like, Clea DuVall, I felt like, was in a bunch of movies in the 90s, and then we didn't see or hear much from her, and then all of a sudden, I feel like she's everywhere, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, mid-aughts to teens, it was like, are you?
In the closet.
Yeah.
I think that's where she was. Really? And then she came out, and then all of a sudden everybody wants her on their projects, and she's like the go-to, you know, queer creator for film and TV now.
Yeah. Love that she's, you know, behind the camera, but I do want to see her in front of it a lot more, too. Looking forward to her upcoming projects.
I would like to see her behind the microphone, like on this podcast.
Ooh.
Putting those vibes out there. If any of you are Clea DuVall's ex-girlfriend and you're still on good terms, let her know.
Could you imagine?
You never know. The chart is real, okay? There's a podcast guest that I've been wanting to get for a while, and they were on a reality TV show, and I saw a picture of their wedding from over the summer, and I noticed in the wedding picture a past guest of Dyking Out was at the wedding. So I messaged them right away, and they said that their girlfriend is that person's ex-girlfriend, and they're on good terms, and next time she talks to her, she'll bring up Dyking Out, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm so excited that this might actually happen.
Yes.
So the chart is real, and I'm going to put these things out there. And if somebody has a hookup to Clea DuVall, we would welcome that.
This is exactly how we talked about Desiree before it happened. So I cannot wait to dyke out with Clea DuVall.
Yes.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey.
Have you seen the movie A Simple Favor?
Yes, I watched it on an airplane, sort of. I started watching it, and then I just fast-forwarded to get to the queer part,
yeah.
And then, because I heard that there was a queer part, and that was it, and I
why
didn't
did
feel
no
like
one
I
tell
to rewatch.
Me? Why did no one tell me how queer it was? I had no idea. I went last night to, on Hulu, their Huluween collection.
What's that doing in its Huluween collection?
That's exactly why I clicked on it and watched the trailer. I was like, really? I don't know what I thought it was, but I definitely didn't think it belonged in the Halloween collection. And I watched the trailer, and it seems like a little sapphic. Like there's some tension you're sensing between Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick, two main characters. But at the same time, it's a Paul Feig comedy slash horror. I was like, there's just so much going on. I need to watch this. And I'm glad I did. It's very gay. It's got a lot of gay energy in it. Blake Lively can wear the fuck out of a suit, first of all.
Sure.
She's wearing multi-piece suits. At one point, she's just wearing the vest and the cuffs. And that's it up top. And like a lot of side boob under boob going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I know you're squinting at me, and okay, I'm still going. Linda Cardellini's in it.
Okay, it was a treat. There were some treats sprinkled without, but it's still, anytime I feel that male gaze creeping in.
Okay, that was...
It was a male gaze with a nod to Leslie's.
It was a male gaze, yeah, Paul Feig directed, but listen, I did some sleuthing after... And I was like, why does this feel like there's a lot more queerness implied? And it's because the person who wrote the screenplay directed the episode of The L Word called Layup. Do you remember? Does that mean anything to you? The episode of The L Word where they play that like pick up
the
basketball
game. Yeah. With Poppy? Yeah.
Yes. One of the gayest episodes of the gayest shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was delighted.
One of the worst episodes of the gayest shows.
Why is it the worst? I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember loving that whole basketball storyline. And I remember Bette is doing some damage control. Like, that's when she's meeting...
Jody?
Getting to know Jody in that. She's, like, defending her controversial artwork.
I don't remember it exactly. I just have memories of watching that. That was one of the episodes I watched with my mom, I remember. And I just felt like the basketball stuff was kind of cringy, but I might have been cringing at all the Poppy stuff because they made Poppy such a caricature.
Oh, yeah.
And so ridiculous.
Okay,
and
but
I'm
Poppies
like,
exist.
Why are they doing this?
Too. Like, remember when I got groped outside of Stonewall at our Dyking Out show in February?
Oh, yes, that was Poppy that did
that. That was a real-life Poppy. I'm talking down to the accent, like, the silhouette, the size, the style. Like, a real-life Poppy came up.
Fine, I guess representation matters.
Yep, yep, and we got that. Problematic representation. Oh, it exists in the community, and I'm making a case for Poppy. I don't know. I was looking up, you know, everyone involved in A Simple Favor, and then when I found out that it was written by the person who had directed that episode, I went to the IMDb for that episode, and then I saw the synopsis, and I guess they let anyone write those, because it is very offensive. There's one part of the, like, a storyline, that should just be, like, a couple sentences about what the episode's about. This is a full paragraph someone wrote, and it's very biased. Like, there's one point where... Hold on. Poppy challenges Alice and the rest of the girls to a grudge basketball game. On the court, Alice, Jenny, and the overweight and out-of-shape Kit and the others reject Tina, who ends up playing for Poppy's team. Who's writing... Who's shading Kit like that on the IMDb synopsis? Guys, right? Call to action. Dykes, get on IMDb. Let's check all the L-word storylines. Let's keep calling them out for their problematic behavior, but we don't need to go after Kit's weight in these storylines.
No.
It was submitted, written by Anonymous. Anonymous, that's fucked up.
I didn't know that IMDb was like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I thought that, that they were like pulling from official sources for these episode summaries.
So
well,
now
I'm
just...
That is problematic.
I went in a spiral, like I went in a dark hole of just going through all of the synopses for the different L words and like trying to
edit
them.
Is this a theme? Is somebody just like negging?
Because we know the L word diehard fans are insane. You know, they find us on iTunes and leave batshit crazy reviews when we make a simple joke about it. So they're also out here in these IMDb streets just really making the narrative work as they see it. I don't know. Crazy.
Wow. Wow.
Is that gay news? I don't know. It's been a slow week. I'm just, I can't believe it.
You know, I think with A Simple Favor too, like Anna Kendrick reminds me of like a girl in high school who secretly makes out with her like actually queer friend and then tells her she loves her and then like pretends it never happened.
Yeah.
And years later never brings it up.
It's
a very specific vibe.
But Anna Kendrick's character does seem to be, like, put under a spell by Blake Lively and, like, is very...
Who wouldn't be?
...wooed by her in the beginning. And they really drag that energy on, like, for...
Yeah.
I mean, it's too long of a movie. It could have been half hour shorter. It's a 2-hour movie. They do literally kiss at one point. Stop looking at me like that, Carolyn. Okay, fine. Agree with me that... It was a good thing that we got Linda Cardellini as a dyke painter or artist. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, because I watched it on an airplane
and fast-forwarded
through a lot of it.
There's a part where, like, Anna Kendrick is tracking down,
that sounds
like,
good.
She's doing some sleuthing on Blake Lively's character. She's like, who is this girl? She goes into her past and she meets up with an artist that was wronged by Blake Lively. And it is Linda Cardellini, my crush.
Yes.
Maybe this is why this is so exciting for me, because I've been in love with Linda Cardellini since I was in like the 5th or 6th grade, like ever since I saw Freaks and Geeks. And she plays quite the dyke in that. She plays an artist, but she's like got knives. Like she's very upset and wronged by Blake Lively, and the sheer thought of her makes her like pull out her knives and just stab things. It's very sexy.
Oh, you know, another thing, going back to Happiest Season and Mackenzie Davis, who famously played one of the characters in the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror. And now this is another queer character.
I've never seen Black Mirror.
Well, if you're going to see something, watch that episode.
Okay. I mean, my list is growing. There's a lot of good stuff coming out.
I always wonder with actresses who are cast in multiple queer roles, Does Hollywood know something that we don't?
What about actresses being cast in their first queer role and Kate Winslet telling them that they should film their sex scene on their birthday so it's extra special?
Extra special, yeah. You know, here's another one because I think Saoirse Ronan's queer.
Me too.
I do because, Joe and Little Women, and it was clearly a gay Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. A gay Joe, and then now this, and no boyfriends, no public knowledge of boyfriends or relationships.
Yep.
So I don't know.
We're looking forward to having her on this podcast.
Yes. Oh my God, I would die. Yeah. Well, other than drooling over Blake Lively, what was the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, man. Gayest thing I did. I got a 65-inch TV. Now, I know that's not exclusive to gay culture, but would I watch on it? Absolutely. I did watch A Simple Favor. I saw that makeout scene between Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick just take up my entire living room wall. But the first thing we did when we set up this enormous TV was watch another episode of Bly Manor. And
yes, I've been watching Bly Manor on my mom's 65-inch TV, and it is perfectly splendid to watch it on there.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What a beautiful show. Also,
gorgeous.
I just want Hannah Gross to be in every scene. She's just so stunning and just, like, lovely. I don't know. I want a spinoff of Hannah Gross. I know that's not the queer storyline, but I love that character so much.
I love that character. I love her style. I love her vibe. Allie and I were just like mouths agape watching that scene where she really opens up and talks about her past. I don't know if you've... I'm always assuming you're further along in these shows than I am, so I feel like I know you've seen it. Episode 6?
I want us to do an off-topic about Bly Manor because I finished watching it yesterday and I would love to get into it on Patreon.
Yeah, we're planning on finishing it tonight, and I'm so excited. I love this enormous TV. God, it's so good to see lesbians making out so big.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's been a pretty quiet week. Allie and I got couples massages again.
Nice.
Talked about that on the podcast a few episodes ago with my ongoing back issues. I talked about this place on the Upper East Side that we went to and had the most divine couples massage experience at. We thought, let's do it again.
Right.
So we booked it. Oh my God, was it the complete polar opposite experience
than
the first time? We had two very angry masseurs very rough. We got the roughness the first time, but it was done the right way. You know, like they're using their elbows, they're also rubbing. Like this was all bones. Like,
okay.
it was like she was mad at me. Like at one point, she was just shaking my body like up and down. And if it weren't for like the hole where my head goes, I would have been off the cot. Like it was very, very aggressive. I had to disassociate. Like it was actually like it felt like dark. And you know what I'm talking about with a trigger warning. Like I really had to leave my body and just get through it. I mean, I was fully disassociating at a certain point. And then I would be like, is it done yet? And she even left a couple times. It was just so rude.
It was like a smoking break.
And then she would bring the cigarette back and just put it out on my back. Like, that's what it felt. That was the vibe. And so I turn over to... Well, one of the three times she left the room, I turn over to see what's going on with Allie. And Allie's looks pretty aggressive, too. But this woman is just caressing Allie's butt. I turned three times. Every time I checked, Allie's butt was getting massaged. And Allie does have a very nice big butt, okay? Like, and I talked to Allie afterwards, and she goes, I think she was gay. She's like, did you get your panties yanked down and your butt massaged? I was like, yeah. And she's like, did you the entire time? I was like, yeah, I thought so. Like every time I look over, this woman is just not even massaging, just like handfuls of Allie's butt, just like worshiping Allie's
ass.
Maybe
that's where Allie holds her tension.
Yeah.
She could just sense that. All that tension was in her ass. I've had that before where I've gotten a massage and then they move down to my butt. And then it's a very fine line between it feeling good and feeling like a line has been crossed.
Right. Allie thought she was going to... Allie was mentally preparing... When we recapped after, Allie said she was mentally preparing for a happy ending that she didn't want. And I was like, well, what would have happened if you were about to get a happy ending? Would you stop it? And she's like, I don't know. Mine was a little dark. Please cheer me up. What is the gayest thing you did this last week?
Well, I think I already gave everyone a little bit of a spoiler, but it was that I was completely undone by putting on fake nails. I haven't had nails that long in years. The last time I put on fake nails was for a costume when I was 19, I think. So it's been a really long time. I've kept my nails very trim, and I just did not know how to function with that. I thought that that was pretty gay of me. And then as soon as the show was over, the first thing I did was try to remove the nails, which I had foolishly bought some that I glued on rather than ones you stick on. But I thought, I'm not going to have these on for that long, so it shouldn't be hard to take off. It took at least an hour for me to get these things off me. I had to, at one point, cut all the tips off and then soak them in an acetone. To get them off. And no matter how long I soaked them, and it took so long. And my mom and Cecilia were like, oh my gosh, what did you do? Why is this taking so long? So I'm both bad at having nails and at taking them off. And it just felt super gay, super gay.
Yeah, I mean, you looked like a fish out of water. You looked like when people put like shoes on dogs to go out to walk on the ice and snow, like the way you're just
right
moving around, like it affected your whole body.
Everything about that. Yeah. I mean, I also had, which you couldn't really see in the Zoom, but I, again, went all in on this costume. I bought a D-size bra that I stuffed, and I had that on underneath. So I wasn't used to, like, my chest sticking out that far. You know, having the wig on, I had false eyelashes on, which then with the nails on were hard to stick out. So those were falling off the whole time. A lot more makeup than I usually wear. The only thing that I did enjoy of the costume, I mean, I like the colorful sweater, and I like the fake septum ring that I had.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cute. I'm usually, like, not a septum piercing kind of gal, but I might keep that and try that on for funsies sometimes when the mood strikes.
Yeah. And you did kind of look very Madonna afterwards when you took the wig off. We were on
chat. So much better once I took the wig off. The wig was so cheap.
And then you had the makeup.
I know. I wish I had like a decent wig. Like Samantha Sidley came on with this like glamorous green long wig that looked so much nicer. Even Tian Tran's blonde wig was so much better than my, you know, Party City wig fusion that I had. But, you know.
I wanted to get a wig, but Allie said I didn't. I was Kamala.
And you didn't need one.
So, yeah.
Everyone was Allie commenting really on how presidential you looked.
Oh, my God. I couldn't get out of the costume. I walked around the apartment for an hour and a half talking in Kamala voice.
Yes.
And waving. Like this, like just, you can't see me, listeners, just acting as presidential as possible. Like it really took forever for me to wipe the makeup off and take the hair down. My hair was really, I mean, it's a simple outfit. I can do it again. I could throw on a blazer, put a string of pearls on, and I'm transformed. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's the best thing about, you know, you put on a new outfit that's different and you feel a little bit outside of yourself, and it's a lot of fun. For me, it was just a little too much femme. Oh, the other thing that was unfortunate, I guess, for Cecilia was she was actually really digging the nails on me. And I could tell by the look in her eye, and she, and she kept, like, taking pictures of my hands like a creep.
I know, we were talking afterwards, you're like, hold on, Cecilia won't stop taking pictures of me.
Yeah, like, she's taking pictures of me and taking pictures of, like, my hands specifically. Like, I looked on her phone the next day, and there were these pictures of me, like, trying to type that, and, like, videos of me trying to type. She was taking videos of just, like, my hands moving. That's how into it she is. I know. What a perv. And... but she just really loved me being totally femme for the night. So, oh well,
love it.
Yeah, I was like, enjoy it because I'm taking these off immediately. Props to any of our queer listeners with long nails. I salute you. It is truly an art form that, you know, I mad respect for navigating that world.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of navigating worlds.
You're so good.
That's one of my worst ones. All right. So today we are diking out with comedian Mo Welch about getting knocked up. Perhaps you have seen her on Conan and too many other shows to list, or maybe you are familiar with her animated series Blair, based on her popular comic that's been featured in The New Yorker, Cosmo, and Vice, and her book How to Die Alone is out now. Let's do this. Mo, thank you so much for diking out with us today. It's good that we finally got to do this. We were originally supposed to do this in LA, and then the world went crazy.
Yeah, that's such bullshit. But I love the Zoom. I love that you're in an actual closet. I'm sure people have commented.
No, this is my first time back in the closet, and it's fitting because I'm in Buffalo right now, and I'm at my mom's house.
In a hometown closet.
Yeah, hometown closet. Oh. Just had to get back in there.
That's perfect.
It's a lot of Ann Taylor Loft here or something. Is that a brand?
Oh, my God. My mom loves Ann Taylor Loft. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. My mom loves Chico's, and telling me what size she is Chico's. I'm like, yeah, that's really a 16, Mom. That's. I know you're a Chico's 8.
Oh, my God. I need to go to Chico's if it helps.
Yeah. No.
Be like, I'm a fucking zero at Chico's, man.
Not even.
Even after having a baby.
How are you doing in all of this?
How are you generally?
I'm okay. I'm, you know, like before this, I was like pretty good because I had a baby and then I was just coming back to playing basketballs with the boys, and I was coming back to performing. I was just like making a big comeback in my life, and then this shut down and I was like, okay, I don't know. It just feels like, okay, now I'm never going to do stand-up again. Right. You know, that's what it feels like right now. It's like, how are we going to do this? I don't know.
Yeah. Are you trying to even do like the outdoor shows and stuff like that? Or
I refuse.
Same.
Yeah. Were those kind of a thing in LA though, before all this?
Yeah. And I hated it. Like,
we're
I
all doing
hated
LA
going
style comedy
to like,
now.
Exactly. That's why people hate LA comedy, because it's like, you go and they're like, here's the show address. And then you show up at someone's like apartment and it's outside. And I'm like, I fucking hate this. Like, there's nothing about, like, I'd rather be at an open mic in Chicago. Yes. Again. And because the crowds are better. And it was at least indoors. Cause it's like, it's hard to perform outdoors. Like, every comic knows that there's no ceiling. Mm-hmm. Your laughs go nowhere. Yeah. You can't like have an intimate audience.
Yeah. I'm doing my first big show next week. That like draws a big crowd and stuff. I've bombed already in my head. Like, I am going into it knowing that I won't hear any laughs.
There's already like five fire trucks driving by during your set. Yeah. It's going to happen.
That's actually a good, I think that's good, a good mind frame, like, to go into a show, be like, I'm going to eat shit, because then you can't get any worse.
That's true.
Like, I think, yeah.
I think that's my mindset going through life. I'm like, whatever. Like, I go through my apartment just expecting cockroaches to jump out. And I'm like, if this is what I'm always expecting when it comes, I'll be prepared. There's been like one cockroach in my apartment. And for like 6 years, I've been like, yep, they're everywhere. They're everywhere just waiting to come out and kill me.
That's a good 2020 lesson.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mo, we ask all of our guests this, and we're going to ask you, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
The gayest thing. Okay. It is Tuesday. So let's.
Since last Tuesday.
Past 7 days. Yeah.
Since last Tuesday. I mean, like, generally, like, I feel like I've never dressed more like traditionally butch and gay than I have in quarantine. Like, it's like basketball shorts all day long. Like, today I knew this was going to be on Zoom, so I wore jean shorts, but like, even that, it's like, I just feel like I've just been, so it's probably like something that I wore, you know, basketball shorts. I don't know. I feel like my life is just like super gay because I have a wife and a gay baby. So
every week's a gay week. I feel like I've also become more butch in quarantine. Like, I cut my hair short for the first time. I'm wearing sweatpants all the time. Like, my wardrobe and everything has changed somewhat dramatically because, like, all my nice femme stuff, I'm like, well, that needs an iron, so I'm not going to wear that ever again.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about kids and your journey to becoming a mom. How long ago did you have your kid?
She's 13 months old.
Cute.
So yeah, September 10th. Actually, I was like, we were positive she was going to be born on 9/11. And I asked the doctors if we could rush it. And so I pushed, I like literally got two stitches in my vagina because I pushed so hard, and she was born on the 10th at 11:45 p.m.
Oh my God.
Because I'm a good mom.
Yeah, you are.
I really thought you were going to say you were trying to delay it to 9/11 because you're a comedian, and that's like a very comedian thing to do. Just
yeah. I was like okay with her being born because I was like, okay, at least we'll have a couple of jokes.
Right.
But then once it was like we were getting in there, I was like, all right, let's like do this, man. Like, let's get her born now.
Yeah.
Let's get her out. But yeah, she's one, and it's crazy.
Walking?
She's not walking. She's not really like that advanced yet because we're like in quarantine and we've just been like doing everything for her.
Right.
But yeah, it's insane because I was like not planning on being this much of a hands-on mom.
Right.
You know, like I wanted to be a good parent, but at the same time, I was like, when this all happened, I had a full-time job. So I was like at work, coming home, and then I like go work out, and it's just like, I was getting this rhythm. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit. Like, it is so much work to like be a real parent.
Yeah, I nannied a baby for 8 hours a couple weeks ago, and
Melody texted me and was like, she was like, are you sure you guys want kids?
Like, I'm still in pain, like, throughout my back picking up the baby the wrong way.
Oh my god.
Hats off.
I know. I'm here in Buffalo with my nephews who are 3 and 5 or just shy of that, and we went to the playground with them, and after maybe 20-30 minutes, I was like, does anyone else want to tag in here? I've been playing the same Pirates on the Boat game with these kids for 20 minutes. I'm sick of it. We need a new storyline happening. And
especially if they're not your kids, you have like, you only want to invest so much. You're just like, this isn't as fun. I don't know. There's something about, but I thought I would be like super chill with my kid because I used to nanny too. And I was like such a psycho and like would just be like a helicopter nanny. And I was like, well, if it's my kid, it's like they fall, then that's like my fault. It's like a regular parent thing. And no, I'm like still such a helicopter mom.
Yeah.
I like, she has like not had a bruise on her.
Well, you had mentioned off mic before you'd always wanted to have a kid. Did you always want to, like, literally have a kid, or did you think maybe you'd have, if you had a partner, they might have the kid? Just because we have a lot of mutual friends, and when you got pregnant, it was like, Mo Welch is pregnant. Like, it was like such a, like, unexpected event, I felt like. But
everybody thought that. Even my family, they were like, why didn't Sam have the baby? And I was like, first of all, I am tall and I can take it. I can take this pain and, like, not look like I'm pregnant till 7 months in. But it's so weird. Like, when I've always wanted kids, I thought maybe I would adopt. And then I was like, you know what? No, maybe I'll have a couple of my own. And I got this feeling. It was just like, once I was in my 30s, I was just like, actually, I want to have that life experience. It was all about, like, I wanted to know what it was like to be pregnant. Mm. I don't know. It was just like, I guess I wanted to put myself in pain, but I wanted the experience, and I don't want it again, because that was a lot.
Stitches.
Like, I don't know how people do it more than once. They're just like, maybe I have no threshold for pain, but it was, it was hard.
I have a friend who's a surrogate and just keeps doing that. Nuts. Wow. It's not even for you, but God bless.
That's
we need more
so
of them.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least she's got a paycheck coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a plus. Yeah. No, my family did not. They thought Sam would, because, I mean, it's just like, it's that thing where they're like, well, Sam's obviously more femme, and I'm just very, I don't know, whatever it is about me, nobody thought that I would get pregnant. Whatever energy I give off, or even when I was like, I want to have kids, like, in general, they're just like, are you sure? And I'm like, what is it about me that gives off, like, I shouldn't have children?
Like, basketball shorts.
Yeah.
Obsession with Larry Bird. I don't know.
Yeah. They're like, just like, nothing about you is nurturing. I'm like, whatever, dude.
How old were you when you came out, or when you knew that you were gay, and, like, what was your thinking around kids before then and after then? Because even when we're, like, really young, I think we all kind of have this idea that one day we're going to be moms.
Right. No, yeah, it's kind of like it was a given when you're, like, when you think you're straight.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I had boyfriends, you know, I had these, like, hunk boyfriends, like, real big muscly guys, and, like, everybody would
jealous.
Say I know
brag.
Yeah. He's actually off camera, come over here. He's they were just like the best, like, beard, I guess, you know, like, it's like nobody knew and I didn't even know at that time, but their parents, like, would always say, and my parents would just be like, you guys will have great kids one day. They'll be so tall and athletic. And, you know, they never said any compliments about our actual relationship. Like, you guys are good together. You compliment each other well. It was always about, like, how we would breed.
Genetics. Yeah.
Yeah. And first of all, one of my boyfriends looked like we could be siblings. Like, we walked into a bar once, they're like, oh, is it your brother? And I'm like, literally, we have sex.
So yes, it is my brother.
So yes, yeah.
Any other questions?
What's it to you? Yeah. What is this, a podcast about incest? But I, I don't know. And then when I went on a date with my now wife, our first date, she was like, do you want kids? And I was like, I already knew I did. I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess if my life isn't, like, seriously, I was at, like, rock bottom when we met. And I was like, I guess if I'm not, like, down here in this ditch,
could only go
my
up.
Whole life, I'll have a kid. Yeah.
I love that she asked that. Is that because she wasn't going to, like, waste her time with anybody who didn't want what she knew she wanted?
I think so. Yeah. Like, she said it really casually.
Right.
But she did ask, like, she made it a thing to ask if, like, because that is a waste of time if one person wants a kid and one doesn't.
Right.
Because it feels like something you have to be, like, in on.
Yeah.
So she asked that. And then she also asked if I liked Christmas. Those are like the only two big questions for her.
She wants someone to throw a good Christmas.
And I didn't say I hated Christmas.
For the kids.
Yeah. I was like, what kind of like weird Christian date is this?
Yeah. Yeah. She's completely overlooking that you're at rock bottom right now. And it's just like, yeah, yeah, I know you have stuff going on, but Christmas.
She's like, I didn't realize that you were paying with cash because you had no money on your debit card. But will you have children with me?
That's great.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Yeah.
Once you realized that you were gay, did that change? I don't know, like when I was trying to think about it, if when I was gay, how that affected what I thought about having kids. But I think I just never, I was like, oh yeah, I'll, you know, have a family one way, and didn't really think about the logistics of it. I just thought like that changes nothing.
Yeah. And it is crazy because it is like it's a big to do. Like, you know, it's like so a lot, you know, for the most part, it's a lot more difficult, you know. No, I wanted kids when I was with guys, and I came out, I didn't think about it as much. Like, I rarely thought about it when I came out, and it didn't feel like, as the years went on, it didn't feel like I need to have a kid, especially even when Sam, even when we met, I was like, you know, we could have a really good life without children too. But I think we would have always wondered if our life would have been better with kids. That being said, I did say kids plural, but like since quarantine, we were like, one is like more than enough.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you were planning on another one. I know a lot of lesbian couples will like one will have a kid, another will have the next. I don't know.
That was the plan.
Yeah, plan.
Yeah, that was the plan. But then I think she was like, I saw what pregnancy was with you, and like, you know, I could just see that like you were miserable. And then, yeah, we just like, we're so, and like, we're both helicopter moms. So like, we put so much energy into having the baby and being the baby's mom that we're like, you know, that is a lot to do that twice. Plus it's like, can we even have a life if we have two kids? I'm just like, can we travel anywhere?
Yeah. Well, not now, at least.
We'll see. Yeah.
Can we ever?
Yeah.
Now, that's definitely why I'm making my wife go first in terms of having the kid. I'm like, let me see how you do with it, and then we'll see.
It's a good lesbian cheat. You know, you're just like, oh, that's great that you don't, like, if you want multiple kids, if you want two kids, it's like, I don't have to be pregnant again. You know, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still, your brain does really weird things to you after you have a baby, because like when she was 3 months old, I wanted another kid like right away. Yeah, like my brain was like making me think that I wanted to, like, that we should plan for a baby right now, so they're like around the same age and we don't have to like deal with being pregnant when we're like older than we are now. So, but yeah, it just fucked up shit. And then a month later, I'm like, I would never have another kid.
Is it crazy that my wife and I want to try to have twins the first time and just get the two out in one go? And then
no, I think that's smart.
How do you try to have twins? Actually, there's a Real Housewife of Atlanta who was doing this.
They put multiple embryos in you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. When they do the transfer. So we have one embryo on ice right now, and we're trying to get another one made so that we can, you know, plug both in at the same
time. I actually think that's smart. Yeah, I think
I can't tell if it's smart or if we're batshit crazy and we're going to be like crying every day about dealing with like two newborns at the same time.
At least it's like you're doing, like, no matter what, that time is like a lot. You know, so it's like you might as well just like double down and not have to do it again. It is, you know, it is nice that you get a plan. Like when you guys have a baby, it's like you get a plan when you're trying. You know, there's something that's great about like having to make all these decisions, because then you're like remembering that this is what you really want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's no accidents.
Yes. You know, I always thought that that was such a great thing about being gay, was just never having to worry or be stressed out. Like, once I saw my friends have enough pregnancy scares, I'm like, oh gosh, I have no idea what that would be like. And I'm so thankful for that. But then I think there's also a flip side to that, where then it's this thing that's like, okay, now I am completely in control and it's always hanging over us. And it's always like the timing to have kids, it never feels like, okay, now is the exact right time. You're always like, oh, yeah, maybe like right after this or right after that. But it's never a good time. So when it's completely in your hands, like my wife and I, over a year ago was when we first went to the fertility doctor.
Right.
Like maybe a year and a half ago. And we thought like, oh, we'll go to a fertility doctor and then she'll be pregnant like 3 months later. And it's just taken so long, because like by the time you schedule all the appointments, and it's like at first it feels like no sense of urgency. And then, you know, you have some tries and you don't get as many embryos as you want. And you're like, oh, no, this is actually...
It's a lot. And like all the appointments you have to go to, like most people who are just doing it like, you know, the heterosexual way, they don't have to deal with all of those appointments. And that was like so crazy for me, because it was so early and I was like doing shows at night, and then I'd be like at this fucking clinic at like 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like,
yeah,
probably hungover. They're like, do you want to be a mom? Like, are you sure about this? Part of the process is like, we also had to like get a lawyer and go see a psychiatrist and stuff with having a donor.
That was what I was going to ask about.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, how did the sperm come into play?
The sperms, I always joke around that I was like getting all these vials of sperm and it was like, it's not working because I was drinking them. And nobody liked that joke. Everyone was saying like, that's gross. I was like, I don't know why. But we have one of our best friends, and we asked him, and then it took him, I want to say like 6 months to say yes. Like he really like went through it, like talked about it with a therapist, with all of his friends, and like made the decision. Like he said it was the yes all along. He just wanted to like make sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we asked him, waited for 6 months, and then you do the whole like going to the lawyers and the psychiatrist, the fertility clinic. And I don't know, it might have been like, we probably had the baby 2 years after we were like, let's have a baby.
We didn't have to go to a psychiatrist.
Maybe it's California.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think our donor, he had to have like a psych eval done,
yeah,
I believe, but like by himself, like we weren't.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, well, he had to go separately from us, and then we had to, like, and we did it on the phone, but it was, they really hammer it in. They're like, so you're, like, when they're talking to him, they're like, so this is, this child will not be your child. Your parents might want to call them their grandchild. This is not your parents' grandchild. Like, yeah. Are you going to be okay with, you know, they really, like, hammer it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, because that's, I'd rather have somebody else do that than me do that. Like, I know that our donor knew that, but I would feel like a jerk being like, now remember, this isn't your kid, all right?
Away.
Relax.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of our lives. Just give me your sperm.
Yeah, tell your mom to shut up. No.
Hey, we don't want this fucking birthday gift from your mom, yeah. Right? We burned it.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have a third party. Yeah, especially the lawyers, like, the talking about the paperwork and just being like, well, now I have legal rights over your sperm, friend. You exactly. have to jerk off at least 5 times for me if I request it. So
it's, it like, is,
it's in writing.
Wild.
You signed it. You and your wife signed it.
Yeah, I think we do own still at least one more, which I will drink later.
Don't drive. Yeah, I didn't know that you have to go through all that for the sperm. And then that got me thinking about family members giving sperm. And yeah. Like, how popular is that? Allie's brother right. offered a sperm last Christmas in front of the whole family. And Allie was like, honestly, Brent, we were talking about it and we don't want any sperm from this family. It's a lot of mental illness. And he got really offended That's by great. That. And it like, it turned into like a mini argument. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you want my sperm? I have two doctorates.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like,
but really, you guys should not be putting his sperm into Allie. I just want to say that yeah. on the record. I think you guys are right in that.
Yes, yes, yes. yeah, Allie was, we always thought Allie would have the baby because she's the nurturing one.
Right.
But she has like a lot of medical issues that have bubbled up, like a lot of like urinary things and cysts and
right.
pain. And then she like her, she doesn't want to have to go off her antidepressants. So now it's on me.
Now you got to do it.
Yeah. So oh we're just putting that off for now. Cause COVID, I mean, why? I don't know.
I know. Cause part of me is like, it'd probably be awesome to be pregnant now because I think they have a hold on like what you do with in the hospital visits and stuff.
But, yeah.
And you're like, well, there's nothing to do anyways. I guess I might as well be pregnant.
Right.
You know? That's true. Yeah. Especially if, like yeah. comedy, everything's shut down. Actually now's right. the time.
Yeah,
I'll take her brother's sperm.
Yeah. Like, I have a brother. He's gay. He's the only boy in my family. And I don't know. I didn't really want to do that. And Sam only has a sister, so her sperm wouldn't work. And a lot of comedians offered it up. And I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding. Yeah. I'm not using your bombs at an open mic, you know, every day of your life, energy.
Yeah.
And even if they were like, you know, I don't know, I was just like, two comics can't, like, I can't do this.
You'd have
like,
to make them sign a contract to never make jokes about it. Be like, you're not right. doing this for the material, right? Like, you're not going right. to talk about how your jizz is in some lesbian right now.
Exactly. I don't need
my
that.
My baby will not be yeah. a bomb out of my.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. I was like, if you fucking kill it and it's like really funny, that's fine. But yeah. I have no trust in you.
Maybe one of the like hot comics that are really actors. Maybe. But
right.
otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. Like it Judd Apatow? Weird. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Call him up. I didn't want that, but also I didn't want anyone who like might get famous. And then it's just like, now I have to tell this kid that like, oh, you're like donor person is like famous. And then they're like, I want to move in with them. Yeah. Get me out of this dyke dungeon. You know, I'm like, all right.
But plus if they're a male comedian, it's like 50-50 chance they'll be Me Too'd. And then that's
right,
another.
Right. Exactly.
You got to think
You can't
ahead.
Have that.
Yeah.
You have to think ahead.
Yeah. So what do you look for in a sperm donor then? You guys know a lot more about this. I'm just like creeping into even thinking about this stuff. So yeah. This is more information for me.
It is, you know, it is. I thought it was a pretty interesting process, but like,
for sure,
the number one thing we thought, well, first of all, we looked at, like, we got the memberships to like the cryobank sort of places. And I was like, honestly, at the very beginning, I thought, let's make sure that they're like really tall so the kid can play basketball, and then like they're like smart, like if they're already in the cryobank, they're probably smart enough. And I was like, that's good enough for me. And Sam's like, I think that we should be looking at a brain first. And so then we were like looking, and we never got to a point where we were like, I have a lot of friends who have done it and it's great. Like, it really has worked out for most people, but I thought we had some people in our lives that I wouldn't mind asking. And I wanted to be able to like know that they like had empathy, you know, like, I don't know. That was just like my big thing.
They're just not some sociopath going to the sperm bank.
Exactly. Or like they have like, seed. Exactly. They have like, they talk, they have like a weird way that they talk, and then like the baby has like a super high voice, and I don't know, I just didn't want it. But again, like, I have a lot of friends that's worked out, and
yeah, same.
So yeah, so like our friend is, you know, obviously number one, has worked as a model, you know.
Nice.
Number one is looks. No.
LA baby.
Exactly. No, he's just like the sweet, he's like the sweetest guy. And he was already one of our best friends. And now he's like truly like just like our family. And he's like, it's the perfect situation. He comes over a lot and, you know, is in Cleo's life. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like a big love fest. And he's smart, you know, he went to private school. Like, I truly like don't give a shit about that stuff. I like went to junior tall. College. Yeah. I'm like I care.
The first person that I asked, he had like a perfect score on his SAT. And for me, I was like, oh yeah, there. Like, and like, yeah. I've been friends with him since college. And I also think he's just such a great guy. But then the smart thing on top of it, and a musician, I'm like, all right, like talented, smart,
good sperm,
awesome friend, that's great sperm. Yeah, so now I have a B sperm, you know, it wasn't my A choice. Not just kidding. I hope my donor's not listening. No, he is also great. And I mean, any of the people, any of the men in my life, I say this all the time, but I have like a very high bar for the men who are in my life,
right.
You know, and if you're close enough to me that I would ask you for sperm, I obviously must think like very, very highly of you. And that kind of made the criteria pretty easy because, you know, that's just like a handful of people. It's not like there's all these wonderful men surrounding me that I'd want their sperm. I was like, well, you know, there's these four people we would consider, and like, let's go through the list of like who seems, because there are other factors too. Like the first guy I asked, you know, he's married, but him and his wife didn't want kids. So I thought, okay, that's good to have somebody who doesn't really want kids, so that might erase any like weirdness around if like they have kids later or something like that.
Right.
And then there was another guy who I worked with who had volunteered, and we were considering him, but he was a little bit older, and then like wondering like, well, does the age of the sperm affect the quality? And there were some studies around that. So yeah, it's, you know, there's never like a perfect decision, but like you said, with the sperm banks, it's like there's plus and minuses to that. It's like that's already been like tested. They have very high criteria. It's, you know, a lot less awkward because you don't have to ask people. And then the cons is like, then, you know, that person isn't in the life if that's something that you would want. And then, you know, your kid does a 23andMe someday, and then you have 15 people lines, at Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. Like it was important if we could, no matter what, we were going to have a kid somehow. So like there was always going to be like some sort of like, I guess, caveat, like there's going to be like a, you know, we were going to adopt a kid, and then eventually they'd want to know where they, where their, like, you know, biological parents are.
Yeah.
Like, so with this, it seemed like the, I wanted to try to like have somebody who wanted to be there. So somebody who is already a friend and like really cares about us enough to like want to like help us make family too.
Yeah.
And is hot.
Yeah. Hot and tall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so, it's so wild to think about. I'm like, we were just like kind of going through the motions, but I'm like, yeah, that's like fucking crazy. He was so sweet though. He like one day he came over, and we were all like hanging out for hours, and he brought this dessert over, and then he's like, do you guys want a dessert? And we were like, not really wanting dessert at the time. And he's like, okay, let's just have dessert. And then we open up the cake and it said, let's make a baby.
Oh my God. That's so cute.
It was so sweet.
That's so sweet.
There's yeah. your empathy.
And yep. There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Very good sperm, guys.
Yeah, I think it was sugar free, which was, I was like, never mind.
What's the process that you went through then? Like IVF or IUI or?
What's IUI?
We did IUI. IUI is like basically turkey basting in a fertility clinic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they kind of just like put it up you with a tool. And the first time, it's so funny the way that I talk. I'm like, of course no one thought I was going to get pregnant. I was like, fucking spread my legs and then just like shoot sperm up me. Yeah, the first time it did not take. And then the second time was hilarious because I was like in there and I was dressed in all my basketball clothes, and they like put it up in me, and then I asked the doctor, I'm like, hey, is it okay if I'm going to play a basketball tournament? She's like, when? And I'm like all day. It's like a 6-hour basketball tournament. I was like, is that okay? And she just like paused and was like, yeah, I don't think it's gonna fall out. I guess you could, but you could tell she's like, do you care about this process? But yeah, we did IUI a second time, worked after that basketball tournament, and
wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So my wife is taking advice from her coworker who is Chinese, and she has like a lot of Chinese traditional practices around getting pregnant. So she's telling all of them to Cecilia. So Cecilia's like, well, I have to eat the core of a pineapple before they do it so that my uterus is more sticky. And then like, I can't move I'm going to take 2 weeks off work because I just like can't move. Like I have to sneeze differently. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like what's, but like, you wow. know, her coworker also has two kids, so we're like, all right, I guess
right.
Get that pineapple.
Well, you know,
or play basketball for 6 hours.
Exactly. Like my mom has 5 kids and she chain smoked through all of it, so I don't know what the right process is.
I know it's so hard because like my friend who is like slightly older than me ended up getting like 40 eggs retrieved and I got 3, and I'm like, what am you'd think I was like huffing paint every day. I'm like, why happened to my eggs? Where did they go? So now I'm like, I've stopped using like all plastics and like all makeup and fragrances and everything, and I'm just avoiding all of that for 3 months hoping that like I'll get better eggs. But at the same time I'm thinking like 95% of the population is like so much less healthy than me. Like they're just
right. Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see if like then you get like 400 the next time, because then I'm gonna like wipe this lipstick off my face immediately.
Right.
Yeah. What's like an average amount to get if you're like in your
mid-30s? I have no idea. What? Yeah. How many eggs?
I think like in
what's
your,
that average count?
I think
in your basket.
20 in the 20s would be normal-ish if you're in your 30s and have a regular count. I don't know. Like my wife is in her late 30s and she had like 12. And then I only had like 3, but then mine was the only one that made an embryo. So, you know, quality.
All you need is one.
Not quantity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're trying to force twins.
Exactly.
Seems like a huge project.
Yeah, it is a huge, like, there's so much science involved, and there's so much, like, you have to relearn, like, the anatomy of your body, which I was like, I would go in there and I'd ask Sam to, like, remember everything. And I was like, I want to zone out, and I don't even want to know what they're doing to me. Like, they would, like, give me an ultrasound. I went in there the first time and they're like going to do an ultrasound. And I'm like, you have to understand, like, I seriously went to junior college and dropped out. Like, there are just some things that I, like, I don't understand. So I go in there and I'm like, all right, like, let's do this. I thought they were going to give me an ultrasound on my belly, and they were like counting fibroids or something. And so, like, they're like, okay, spread your legs. I'm like, oh, you're putting it up there. Like, truly such a lesbian too. I'm just like, it's just so alarming to have anything put up there. And right. I'm just like, and so, yeah. So he's like, I'll give you a moment to take off your clothes. And I was like freaking out and like fucking ripping my tampon out. And, like, just like so ill prepared because I didn't listen to anything.
Yeah, I've never had sex with a man, so every time they put that up me, I'm like, I wonder if they can tell my hymen's probably still intact. I don't know.
they talk about you over lunch, for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, see that hymen.
Tight. Legendary.
Yeah.
Allie just found out she has to get Botox in her vagina because she has a medically too tight pussy. And she won't stop talking about it. It's like her ultimate brag of the week.
Dude, she's bragging.
Yeah.
She's
like, so I can have a baby.
And she's wasting it on being a lesbian.
I know.
That's so funny. Dude, so are you guys going to travel out to LA to get the Botox? Or are you going to do it local?
I mean, only the best. Yeah. We got to go out there. No, yeah, she's getting it soon. Local Botox. I mean...
She's got it. She got an Instagram live that.
Oh, yeah.
We all want to know the process. Yeah.
She gave me nothing relevant to talk to you about. She's like, oh, that's great. You're talking to Mo. Definitely ask her about her snow globe collection.
Yes.
Her first girlfriend was a clown.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, that has nothing to do with her baby.
It's nothing. Well, Allie was, I mean, I'm sure you know this, but, like, we had the greatest trip to New York coming out of the closet story. I think about it all the time.
I want to hear your side of the story, actually.
Yeah.
Because I always hear hers and her frustration with you and, you know, how you, like, won the trip.
I also, like, abandoned her. I don't know where. So we were staying in, I had never been with a woman, but I had just went on a date with that clown. And so I was like, okay, I'm about to, like, seriously have my first, like, real lesbian relationship. So I got to, like, get some practice.
So you flew to New York.
So we went to New York. First time I've ever been to New York. And we go there and, like, it was, I mean, it wasn't like we were there for 2 days. We were there for like 2 weeks.
Oh,
we stay at
this was like a long weekend. Did you stay in a hostel for 2 weeks?
We stayed in a hostel in Harlem, and it was like, you know, I don't even remember really staying there. Like, I remember we went to Cubbyhole like one of the first nights, and we were just like, it was so freeing to be around nobody that we knew.
Yeah.
And like in Chicago, it's like we are in the comedy scene, and it's like everybody's whispering already.
Yeah.
Like, is, you know, is Mo gay? Is, you know. And so we go there, and it's like it's off the rails. It's just it's fun. We got drunk, and as you know, saw Ricky Lake there.
Sorry,
and
Lake.
And Allie called her out. She's trying to be private.
Allie got a flash photo.
We get a photo. Yeah. I photobombed it, and you know, like looking at that photo, I'm like, I was for sure, like, what was I wearing? I just like I had nothing right. And that's what happens if you come out later. You're just like, you don't know shit. So I go and I start dancing with this girl, and she's like wearing 3-inch heels. She's like kind of femme. She looks like how Romy and Michelle looked when they were trying to be businesswomen.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like when they're like, do you have a businesswoman special? Like, that's what she looked like. And I was like, hello, I'd like to talk to you. So Allie and I go into the bathroom at the Cubby Hole, And I was like, okay, so I found someone. She's like, so you found a woman, so I'll get one too. And she ends up going home with someone who I believe, like, see, my memory is little, like, I'm not sure what happened exactly, but I believe she was in a bunk bed.
I think
she lived with another person
in a bunk bed. And like slept with like
it
a microwave
so
next
like
to her
the
head.
Next, yes. And I go back, this girl's got like a nice apartment in whatever upper, you know, I don't fucking know New York, but it was like nice. And I don't know. I just remember like being like, yeah, I think I'm bi to the girl. She's like, what?
I heard she was like the one like eligible lady in the bar, like age appropriate.
Oh, I'm sure.
And like the prettiest girl in the bar, and Allie noticed her, but then like you ended up going home with her, and then Allie had to like settle for this like much, much older dyke
who was not Ricky Lake.
Who was not. And when you hear the story, it's like, Allie, I think she raped you. Like, it was just like a very aggressive experience. The way it's told.
Well, the thing is, yes. Okay, so like the next day we're like out to breakfast, and she's like telling me, she's saying like, I didn't even know that lesbians could do that.
You know, yeah, like, did you know that lesbians could do doggy style? That's what she said. She
and, like,
walked out wondering.
She's basically like getting fisted in her like first big gay experience. And like, meanwhile, I'm like gingerly being kissed in the cab. I have my period, so we're not doing anything. You know?
And Allie felt like she had to do this because you were probably having sex and you had to do the same thing.
Oh my god,
that's so funny. I had no idea it was a 2-week trip.
That's what I remember, but not, I mean, I guess it could have been a week, but I remember being there like a while, and I was like, we basically live in New York now and we're lesbians. And then we go home, and I like immediately started dating that clown, so things worked out.
Did you ever consider having kids with the clown? Were you like trying to picture future with that?
To me, it's like so interesting looking back, because we were like sort of, we never looked to the future with each other. We knew that like it wasn't going to work, but we weren't like going to break up. So, and then we had like a bit of an open relationship, but I think we were together for like almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
But like, I mean, I definitely I was bad. Like, it was like,
wow. Okay.
You know, when you first come out and you're like sort of an adolescent and you're doing things where you're like, I don't know, like I remember like hooking up with other girls while we were together, like stuff that I wouldn't probably do right now because I'm married, but like I was like an asshole.
Yeah, you're new and excited.
Yeah, I was new. yeah, but no, we never thought about having kids. We were like sort of expiration dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expiration dating.
That term.
Yeah. And then I moved to LA and I was like, see ya. But yeah, she's super, super great. Super great person.
I think it can change depending on who you're with to whether or not you want kids, because for me it was something that like I always definitely wanted, but then with certain people I was with, I was like, ooh, but I don't know. Or like different points in the relationship, my mind would change about kids, and I'm like, is my mind changing about kids or is it changing about this person that I'm dating? So I felt like,
yeah, does it depend on who you're
with? That was always kind of like a good barometer of how things are going, because you know, at one point I was like, I was so sure that I wanted kids, and then with my now ex-wife, at a certain point we're like, oh, we don't want kids, but it was because the relationship wasn't good. It wasn't because neither of us didn't want kids anymore. But then that was around the time I also started doing comedy. Was there hesitation from you about being a comedian and a mom and trying to balance that?
I mean, I did joke that the only reason I got pregnant was to get a Netflix special.
Right.
Because, yeah, I wanted to get some
season
of that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there was a lot of timing that went into it. Like, I went on tour and then I was like, okay, I'll do it afterwards. And then I had to say no to going on tour in Australia because I got pregnant. And so there was a lot of like, am I going to have FOMO about all of these events that, you know, you work so hard as a comic to be able to like make a living being a comedian. And so I felt like I just got there. It had been like 10 years and I was like, okay, it's like, I feel like I'm finally making a living doing just comedy. And then I wanted to have a baby because it's like, there's obviously an expiration date on that. And so,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I have to do this. So I was definitely so afraid that like, if I got pregnant, it would ruin my career. And that like, it would ruin any sort of like, anything that I built up to, but it hasn't yet. Like, I don't know. I like weirdly, I was like, is this going to make me too normal? Like, and now I'm like, now I have this fucking baby and I got to like figure out how to do like these shows. And then, you know, I guess, I don't know, COVID happened and I'm not doing shows anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
But there, you do get scared. I mean, it is like, it's so different for like, you know, if a guy like had a baby, he's like on stage the next day, but he's like not like, you know, I was like physically dealing with a lot 6 weeks after and like I was still doing shows and like there's just a lot that happens. It's like my body changed, you know, and I don't have any, you know, and then like my self-esteem goes down, you know, so it's a lot. It's like, yeah, I did think, should I do this? But ultimately I wanted to have a family more than I wanted to have a career.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I mean, I remember asking another comedian who's a single mom about it. And when my wife and I got together right away, she was like, I want kids. I'm like, oh man, I already kind of gave up on that idea when my last marriage didn't work out. So now I have to like shift my mindset again. But now I'm scared about like, you know, can I be a comedian if I'm still like trying to break through and being a mom, you know, it's a hard place to be. And this comic was just like, do you want a kid or not? That's the important thing. And like the other stuff you'll figure out, but don't base the decision around comedy. Like this is so much bigger than that.
Exactly. Cause if you look back at your other comedy decisions and if I, you know, I moved from Chicago to LA and it's like, it was such a huge decision. I'm like, am I going to move to LA or if I'm going to move to New York or if I'm going to stay in Chicago because I'm not like, I'm not even like a top 100 comic here, you know, like I'm not like a, you know, big fish in a small pond. And those decisions, like ultimately it didn't matter. If I went to New York, I'd still do comedy. If I went to LA, I'd do comedy. If I stayed in Chicago, you know, I would be lost.
Still in Chicago. That's what's important is that you left.
It was important I got the fuck out of there.
The comedy. But those decisions. I love Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago, it'll always be like, oh, I did like a lot of comedy there. But to be honest, I'm not really that connected to being, I started in Denver technically. I'm not that connected to being a Denver comic or a Chicago comic. Like, I'm just like, I feel like maybe it's just me and the way that I viewed things, but I'm like, yeah, I'm here for a bit. Now I'm here for a bit. I'm just like, I did not get that connected to the city that I was like doing it in.
To wrap up, let's do one more question. What is your least expected mom moment that's happened so far? Like, what were you not anticipating, you and your wife, about having a kid?
I mean, truly, like the pandemic, number one. Number two, I'm trying to, like, I was like, I think I've always thought it'd be like the strong, like, let me carry that like sort of partner. And I can't like be, it's really hard for me to be in the room when she gets shots. Aww. And like, I cry and I'm such like a wuss for like anytime she has to get anything done at the doctor. And I sweat. Like, I actually took a picture of the last time I had to take her alone and I was wearing black jeans and they were just sweat down my asshole. Just like the whole thing was sweat. Was not expecting that.
No,
I know that's
best.
Not like fun, but just sweat.
Thank you for alerting our listeners to that. It could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best to be prepared.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners find you and follow you on social media?
At Momo Welch across the board, Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for diking out with us today.
You. Guys, I had so much fun. And I think it's like one of the only podcasts I've done during this time. Yeah, because I really wanted to dike
yes,
out.
We're so glad.
Yay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, man, it's conversations like that that really make me miss doing these in person.
I know.
Especially when it's like a comedian who I've wanted to meet and hang out with for a while now. You know, Mo is just such a great, funny comic on the scene. Like, I've been following her on Twitter for years and years.
Yeah, Mo is someone I've felt like I've known for the last decade through friends and lovers, but it was really good to finally sit down and talk with her. I feel like also I know her through her comic, Blair, and it was good to meet the real life Mo. And if you're not following Blair, Momo Welch on Instagram, those comics are so funny and so real and a highlight on my scroll.
Yes, it's a great follow. And speaking of friends and lovers, I think we have a listener question.
Ooh. A couple of months ago, I started talking to a girl and we get along. We've been on about 3 dates and she definitely seems much more sexual than me. I've not been in any casual relationships and really wasn't too excited by my sexual life in my last 2 long-term relationships. I think I'm a top and traumatized and really only like giving and not receiving. She's only been with cis men, but is bi, so she doesn't have experience like this either. I don't know how to start or approach this subject, even as a quote-unquote get-to-it-eventually thing. We still kind of blush about holding hands. So I'm nervous. So I'm nervous about it eventually happening, especially because her love language is touch, and it's something important to her.
That's so gay that you know that already after a few dates.
I was going to say... It's like, oh, we're starting to hold hands, but we know each other's love languages.
Right.
I'll add that I'm a Capricorn and she's a Scorpio, and I try not to date based on any stereotypes, but I'm legit scared because their thing is sex.
I didn't know that. We're going to get a bunch of Scorpios writing in being like, that is not my thing, or that is totally my thing.
I mean, yeah, on the dawn of Scorpio season, let us know. Should I not waste our time? Because I know I'm not going to be able to keep up with her drive right from the jump, but we seem compatible in most other ways. Should this be a deal breaker?
Oh, wow. So many things here, listener. First off, I don't think you should have this attitude of not just waste our time based on signs and stuff, because it sounds like you haven't really talked to her about it yet. I mean, you said that you have like a feeling that she's a lot more sexual than you, but if you're blushing holding hands, I'm guessing that you haven't had a real conversation about it, and you might be just trying to dismiss it because you're scared of having this conversation, which could be awkward and uncomfortable maybe, but it's important to have. But why miss out a chance with somebody who you seem to be hitting it off with?
I mean, she may have a high sex drive as a Scorpio, but we don't know this for sure. And we don't really know a lot for sure. It's important to point out that she has only been with cis men, so she could very well just be nervous and wanting to take things slow, too. This is her first time dating outside of that.
And you say you don't know how to start or approach this subject. And I think that, yeah, it's never going to feel like a great time. But when you start to get, you know, a little bit hot and heavy, you can just slow it down a little bit and try to talk about things. Or I think it's best to do it before you get even hot and heavy. Just like ease into the conversation and say, what do you like? And let the conversation go from there. And right. If she wants to get sexual more than you feel like you want to get, voice that. I know that I've been in relationships where there's been a discrepancy, let's say, in sex drives, and just vocalizing it and being like, hey, just so you know, this is a lot for me and not sustainable. So just trying to...
I'm always the one getting that said to. Hey, chill out.
Look, I'm busy. I have a lot of things going on and I can't do it 4 times a day. That's a lot.
And I might add that Capricorns are slow burners too, that are like hesitant at first, and then once they find someone that they click with, can get very horny, and their sex drive increases once they are comfortable enough with the right person.
Yeah. I mean, you say that you weren't too excited about your sex life in your last relationship. So I think it's the most important thing is about communication and just being really honest. And but there's no reason to write it off and think that this isn't going to work or it's going to be a deal breaker, because if she knows how you feel about it and she's okay with it, you know, like maybe she has a big sex drive, but is just as happy to masturbate to compensate for your sex drive, and, you know, and that could be fine with her. You don't know.
Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt. Masturbate to compensate.
Yes. Cecilia.
Yes, definitely communicate. I mean, it seems like you already are. You already know each other's love languages. So I'm confident in your communication abilities. Just be honest, talk it through. And what do you mean? Should I just not waste time? We have nothing but time. We have nowhere to go or be. We have nothing but time. Talk it out.
Yeah.
3 dates is totally normal to still be figuring all of this out with someone. Still very early.
Oh, man. I can't remember the last time that I had 3 dates and was still at handholding. That was when I was dating boys.
I have sweaty palms and tried to never handhold a soul while dating. That's beyond sex for me. It's like, oh, we're intimate enough for you to meet my palm puddles.
Well, best of luck to you, listener, and thank you so much for writing in. If you have a question for us, you haulers, you can email us dykingout@gmail.com. And if you're a patron, be sure to let us know. We'll cross-reference in case you're trying to be sneaky and put your question to the top of the list. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media at Dyking Out everywhere and at Dyking Out Pod on TikTok. Man, on Instagram, we're so close to our 10,000 followers. So a TikTok dance will come soon. I'm already
stretching.
I am. I'm watching a few TikTok dance videos in preparation.
I looked up the dance to motion sickness.
Do you think we can handle that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a part where we lick and we slap.
Yes.
And it's like, I could do the physical moves, but I don't know how seriously I can take myself doing that licking sexy slap thing. And this all only makes sense if you're under 25, but yeah, we're getting ready.
I don't know. I thought the licking and the slapping would be the easiest part.
Yeah.
It's queer.
Physically. But
yeah.
You know, spiritually, existentially, it's just, I don't know what'll happen.
So make sure to follow us so that does indeed happen. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
And you can follow me at Melody Kamali.
And thank you so much for dyking out with us this week.
See you next Tuesday.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.